Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is our great abundance. Amen. During these 3 weeks of our stewardship focus, we are spending some time on down, in, and out. Last week, we spent time on down. The front of your bulletin is basically a map. That cross on the front of your bulletin is a map for these 3 weeks. Every good gift comes down, we said, down from God, and then we look inward to discern God's will for those gifts. And then we move outward into the world to serve our neighbors and be good stewards of this abundance that we receive. Last week, we focused on down. How does God come down to you? How does God reveal God's self to you? What are the gifts? Can you make a list? We, like Ty said, we put some lists. We listed some gifts on our name tags. And if you'd like to see what they are, they're still on a poster in the narthex. The gifts you have received, stuck on that simple poster, it bears a collective witness of what God is up to in this community. Today, our word is in. And I think this is the step we skip often. I think the examination time, the quiet discernment time, is easy to skip. We're quick to move to action without stopping to maybe take stock and turn to Christ and spend time in prayer and in scripture and what we've lately been calling in the synod holy imagination of what God could be up to next. So you're a nurse or you're a teacher or you work in the legal system or you manage money or you manage people or you're a grandparent or you're a neighbor. God has given you the gifts to make each of those things possible. So we give thanks for those gifts, and then we look at them up close, and we bring them to Jesus, and we see what happens. There was this kid, you see. He packed a lunch because he was going to go listen to this preacher who'd been around a while, and the kid heard how this preacher guy could heal people right there on the spot. He also knew that big crowds gathered everywhere that preacher and his friends went, so it might be a very long day. He tossed some fish and some bread into his lunchbox and then joined that crowd and followed that teacher around. At one point, it seemed like the teacher was leaving. He'd gotten in a boat, but people really wanted him to stay. But he and his friends, the preacher and his friends, got in a boat to go across the lake to find some space. But the boy in the crowd saw where he was headed. So they ran ahead. They ran around the lake and got there before the boat could cross the lake. And even though the preacher was trying to get some space, when he saw the crowd clamoring for him, longing for more teaching and for more healing, he had great pity on them. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He taught them late into the afternoon, and people were starting to get hungry. So the preacher's friend told him to tell the crowds to go and just go into the towns and get some food, go home, get a late lunch, get some dinner, if you can, nearby. But that preacher didn't want the people to go. Maybe he wasn't finished teaching them. Maybe he just knew that there were thousands of them and the food trucks and in the neighboring town, we're not going to be able to feed them all. I don't know. But he turns to his friends and he says, "You give them something to eat." And his buddies are like, "Well, we can't afford that. We can't afford to feed them all. There's thousands of them." So the preacher guy says, "Well, what do you have?" So they go around asking people, "What have you got? What have you got?" And our kid, who actually came prepared, our kid who carried his own provisions all day long, took care of himself. Maybe he nibbled on them a little bit during the day. Maybe he actually packed six little loaves of bread in the morning and nibbled on one along the way. But mostly just kept his food for later. He thought ahead, our kid, who can just sit down and take care of himself if he wants. He can just eat his lunch, which probably is turning into dinner, by himself if he wants. Our kid hands his lunch over to the preacher's friends. And the preacher holds them up like they're gifts from God or something. And he gives thanks to God for these two little fish, these five little buns of bread, and he starts breaking them to pieces. And he gives the pieces to his friends, and they start breaking their pieces into pieces. And the more they break off pieces and feed a hungry neighbor, the more bread and fish there is. And there are thousands of people, so the preacher's friends cannot possibly get to each of them to serve them independently or personally, which means they're just handing hunks of bread back to share with the next neighbor and the next neighbor. Nobody's asking who deserves what. Everyone's hungry and there's more than enough. So they just break off another piece and another piece until everyone is full. And there are baskets and baskets left over. What happened to that kid that day when he watched his lunch feed thousands of people? He didn't know that his lunch was that kind of gift. He just tossed some food in a lunchbox and set off for the day. Sometimes we just don't know what we've got. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we know exactly the kinds of gifts that God has given us, like a great mind for math, or every time we pick up a paintbrush, the Spirit seems to do something amazing with art. Or maybe we're aware that it's easy for us to be patient when others can't seem to handle that. Or maybe we have a bank account that's flush, or, you know, flush enough not to be afraid all the time. Sometimes we can see our gifts clearly, but sometimes we can't. Sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes it takes some quiet introspection and some looking inward to recognize that perhaps your quiet nature, your lack of need to be the center of things and get always be speaking right away, that it makes you a good listener. And some of God's children are literally dying for a good listener. Sometimes it takes some prayerful attention, some looking inward, to see that people look to you for wisdom, or that you are a great source of peace for someone else. Pastor Tim Caniff Kuhn is one of the pastors at Luther Ridge, and he and my husband Ken were camp counselors together when they were teenagers up in Wisconsin. And they were the dearest of friends until Ken's death. Tim can be silly. He's a camp pastor after all. He can be silly and play guitar and sing crazy songs. But more than that, Tim is a quiet presence. He speaks slowly in the midst of the busyness of being young at camp, of playing outside and silly skits and whatever else camp is. That's just Tim. Quieter, softer than the rest. He speaks slowly and deliberately, and he thinks a while before he speaks. And he's one of the places that I go when my world is spinning, when an hour of Tim is exactly what my spirit needs. He is a gift. It's not his money, it's not his things, it's him. And you know people like that in your life. Might not be their quiet presence. It might be their humor. It might be their ability to listen to you ramble and ramble and then synthesize some things in a way that you understand yourself better. Maybe it's the way they speak the same sort of language of music. And when you get together and do music together, their gifts always seem to be perfectly tuned with your gifts and things are better. So here's the thing. If we all have people like that in our lives, those people who have a thing that is not a thing, it's not an item or money or power, then chances are you are that person for someone else. You are a gift, and you have been given gifts. Some of your gifts are people, like trustworthy family members. Some of your gifts are tangible things that we would call maybe commodities, like a home and food and money. And because we live in this country, we have these great gifts of freedom and safety that we sometimes forget about. And we forget that other people are ensuring that we get to keep those gifts. We have gifts like opportunity and even the right to vote that's coming up soon. So how do we recognize all of these things as gifts, and how do we discern God's will for those gifts? Martin Luther had a great piece of advice for those who are in any type of discernment. If you want to interpret well and confidently, he said, set Christ before you, for he is the one to whom it all applies, every bit of it. So if you are to look in, to interpret well, in such a way that you can have confidence that you in what you have discerned, then as you do the work of interpreting and discerning God's will for you and your gifts, give Christ the seat across from you or beside you. As you think and pray through your list of gifts, engage Christ in that work. Ask him what he thinks about your life, your friendships, your money, your time, your quiet nature, your ability to engage in conversations with strangers, your sharp mind, or your fierce loyalty to friends, your home, your church family. Spend time in the places that we find Christ, in prayer, in scripture, in community, in Sabbath, in rest, in creation, in singing, in being vulnerable with God and one another. Bring your loaves and fishes to Christ. Work at recognizing them as gifts. And when the aching world asks, what have you got? Hand over your gifts and let Jesus break off a hunk and watch him hand it to someone who needs it. And there will be abundance. Amen.